gonna do. For as long as you want to have your way, Lord, have your way. We're here right now, have your way. You see, we're here right now, have your way.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I worship you. I magnify you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Oh, I'm giving you glory, giving you honor. Cause no words could ever express. So I'm lifting my hands in worship, giving you glory, giving you honor. No words could ever express. You're an awesome God. Oh, I'm giving you glory. I'm giving you honor. You see, no words could ever express.
So I'm lifting my hands in worship, giving you glory. I'm giving you honor.
No words could ever express.
You're an awesome God.
Oh, I'm giving you glory.
I'm giving you honor.
No words could ever express.
So I'm lifting my hands in worship, giving you glory.
I'm giving you honor.
No words could ever express.
You're an awesome God.
Oh, I'm giving you glory.
Giving you honor.
No words could ever express.
So I'm lifting my hands in worship, giving you glory.
I'm giving you honor.
You see, no words could ever express.
You're an awesome God.
Oh, no glory.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, I worship you. I worship you. Hallelujah, another song. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Let praise be given to the King of Kings. Hosanna, glory, hallelujah, ring. Let's testify, let's glorify, let's magnify, let's sing. Let praise be given to the King of Kings. Well, let praise be given to the King of Kings. Hosanna, glory, hallelujah, ring. Let's testify, let's glorify, let's magnify, let's sing. Let praise be given to the King of Kings. Well, let praise be given to the King of Kings. Hosanna, glory, hallelujah, ring. Let's testify, let's glorify, let's magnify, let's sing. Let praise be given to the King of Kings. Well, let praise be given to the King of Kings. Hosanna, glory, hallelujah, ring. Let's testify, let's glorify, let's magnify, let's sing. Let praise be given to the King of Kings. Well, let praise be given to the King of Kings. Hosanna,
glory, hallelujah,
ring. Let's testify, let's glorify, let's magnify, let's sing. Let praise be given to the King of Kings.
Hallelujah. Let's do that right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. If we'll stand and take our prayer request to the Lord at this time. In the hospital, we have Kimberly McLeod's grandfather, Martha Guerrero. On the special needs list, we have Brother Jonathan Hart and family, Brother Johnny Thompson, Kenneth and Angie, Renee Goodwin, Georgia Vincent, Ashley Hallmark, Jake Hardens, Nathan Mowat. On the healing list, we have James Cruz Turner, Carol Covey, Brother Thompson, Sister Margaret Thompson. I'm sorry, Brother Ferguson, Sister Margaret Thompson, Brother Johnny Thompson, Brother Buddy, Sister Ann, Ed Holly, Chuck Taylor, Amanda Gallette. We have a full page of salvation and a half a page of unspoken. Is there any that didn't make it to the list tonight? Yes, ma'am. All right, let's remember this need. Amen. Any other, Brother Lovelady? All right. All right. Let's remember the lovely sister. Any other needs? Yes, ma'am. All right. Sister Covey? All right. Hey, man. My senior pastor from Syracuse, Brother Simmons, he is having open heart surgery tomorrow. Let's remember him. In prayer, amen, that God would guide the hands of the physician. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Amen. All right. Let's remember this need. Any other needs? Amen. If you have any special unspoken, let it be known by the raising of your hand. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's find a place of prayer and take these needs to God. Amen.
Bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, we're so thankful tonight.
One can touch your life. No one can bind your wounds with their scarred hands. No one can touch you like my Jesus can.
Jesus can.
No one can touch.
Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can bind your wounds with nails on hands. No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can touch you like my Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can bind your wounds with nails on hands. No one can touch you like Jesus can. Oh, now no one can touch you like my Jesus can. No one can bind your wounds you cannot understand. No one can bind your wounds with nails on hands. No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can touch you like my Jesus can. No one can give you peace that you cannot understand. No one can bind your wounds with nails on hands. No one can touch you like my Jesus can. No one can touch you like my Jesus can.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Well, I feel Jesus. I feel Jesus. I feel Jesus in this place.
In this place tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus in your name, Jesus in your name. Amen. At this time, if our ushers would come and prepare to wait upon you. Amen. And while they're coming, we have a few announcements. Friday night, we're having a youth service. It's going to be in Longview, and the speaker is going to be Brother Houston, Brother Travis Houston, our youth rep for the section. We're leaving at 5:30. Hey, man. How many of y'all know if you're going? Are you two going? Do you know? All right. All right. What about you, Brother Trey? Are you going? Do you know? All right. Well, all right. Well, we're leaving at 5:30. Amen. I'm going. Amen. Brother Travis Houston is a good preacher. And I want to hear his. Amen. I want to hear him preach. Amen. And then Saturday is Sunday School Teachers Seminar. Is that right? Yes. Mount Pleasant, starting at 8 o'clock. Or are y'all
leaving at 8?
Leaving at 8 o'clock. Amen. Starting at 10 o'clock. So all Sunday school teachers who can make it, be here at 8 o'clock. Amen. Brother Ferguson, if you'd pray for the offering.
Oh, most gracious God. Father, I want to thank you, Lord God, for your presence here this evening, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord God, that you might have. Lord God, I want to thank you, Lord God, for this offering. I pray, Father God, that your blessing to be upon you. Bless us each and every one in your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God is great and greatly to be praised. God is great in my soul. God is great and greatly to be praised. God is great in my soul. I said my God is great and greatly to be praised. God is great in my soul.
Soul.
Well, my God is great, and he's greatly to be praised. God is great in my soul.
Yes, God is great, and he's greatly to be praised. God is great in my soul.
God is great, and he's greatly to be praised. God is great in my soul.
God is great and he's greatly to be praised.
My God is great in my soul.
Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. His name is above every name. Praise God. He's great. And he's greatly to be praised. There's none like him. Hallelujah. He's worthy. And he's righteous. He's pure and he's holy. Amen. He's generous. He's kind. He's patient. Amen. He's a good God. And I'm glad that he's my God. I'm glad that he's my Father. I'm glad that I'm his child. And he listens and he helps us when we give him an opportunity to do so. Bless the Lord. Amen. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Good to see you here. Thank you for being with us in this service. I promised that we would be talking about debt reduction. And anybody interested in reducing your debts?
Yes, sir.
That's something I think that everybody has a little bit of concern about tonight is how to reduce your debt. And it's no accident that the banks are the newest, nicest, largest buildings in the city. There's a reason for that.
That's right.
And if we could learn the principles that they operate by, we could have the newest, nicest, bestest church building in the city. Debt free. If we could learn their principles. So that's really what we want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about being a good steward of what God has given you. Everything that we have tonight comes from the Lord. Is that not true? Everything. From your heartbeat to your breath to your possessions, your family, everything that you have is a gift of God. Everything that exists is God's creation.
He made it. It's His possession. The Bible said that He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The old preacher said He owns the hills. He owns the taters on the hill. He owns the gold under the hill. It's all His. Everything belongs to the Lord. James said every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. And Paul said that God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And so God is able to make all things come our way, isn't He? He's able to bless us. You ever been blessed of the Lord? Yes, sir. Have you ever had a blessing that you were not counting on?
Yes. Come on.
Amen. We had that kind of a blessing this week. We were expecting. I told you, we've been talking about a storage building for some time. And so Sister Lottie McGee had talked to her nephew, and he knew a man that had one for sale. So we went to look at it. And it turned out not only was it a double car garage storage building, but it had an apartment on top of it. And so we bought it for $750. I'd call that a blessing. Now all we got to do is move it. So God's good, isn't He? He can make grace abound toward us. We are called to be stewards. Now that word's not a word that we normally use. But I'd like to see if I could define it a little bit for us tonight. Its roots are in the servants that served in a master's house. There was a steward of children that was responsible for tutoring the children, educating them. There was a tutor in a household that was the foreman or the manager. He was over the work of the household and making sure that everything got done. There was another that was in charge of all of the financial matters of a household. And so that's what a steward is. It's somebody that takes care of God's property and God's business. Now, you are God's property and you are God's business. Isn't that right? What did the Bible say about our body? It said your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A young man told me one time, he said, Brother Grissom, you have the body of a god. I thought, boy, this is going somewhere. And then he said, Buddha. And I said, you remember, son, I've got the pen in my hand that's going to grade your papers and your exams. You better be real careful. to incur the wrath of Buddha. And so we, amen. But we are God's temple. I like that word. We're God. It said your body is a temple. It's not a junkyard. It's not a beer joint. It's not a anything like, it's a temple. A temple is a place dedicated to the worship of God. And that's what your body is. And so we do need to remember that this physical body is the Lord's, and we should do our best to take care of it. Some of us don't do as well as we should, but we need to work at it. It needs rest, enough, but not too much. It needs food, enough, of the right kind, but not too much. It needs exercise. It needs all of these things. We are a spiritual being, and we are to care for our spirit because it's God's spirit that He gave to us. And we take care of our spiritual man. We feed the spiritual man the bread of life. Prayer nourishes our spiritual man. Worship also feeds our spiritual man. Preaching and Bible study feeds our spiritual man. And fellowship with other Christians feeds our spiritual man. So we need to take care of that. We need to take care of our mental state. You know, you can worry yourself into a nervous breakdown. You can do things that can hinder yourself if you don't get your focus and find the peace of God that passes understanding. Amen. We have rest in Jesus Christ, don't we? I believe I read somewhere in the book it said, "Perfect peace have they whose mind is stayed on thee." And perfect peace, or perfect love, casteth out all fear. So you see, we have some things that will help us to care for our mental being. Our families, we are responsible for our families. And to bring them up in the nurture of Jesus Christ and the way of the Lord, that's important. Amen. When God gives you children, the Bible said children are an heritage of the Lord. They're His. They belong to Him. And then He said, blessed is the man that has a quiver full of them. And so if your quiver's full tonight, you're blessed. We just had a smaller quiver than some, I guess. Amen. But children are important. Your family is vital, and we are responsible for that family before the Lord. And ministry, that's God-given. Everybody here has a ministry. There are some things that you do for the Lord, some things that you can do for the Lord, and you're responsible to do those things for the Lord. Amen. And so your ministry is important. Your vocation, which is your job. I've always liked the story of the man that they asked him what he did. He said, "I'm an ordained plumber." Amen. It's all right to be a plumber, but he said, "I'm an ordained plumber." In other words, Jesus is representing the Lord as my first occupation. And plumbing is secondary. And of course, our finances are important and how we control them, what we do with them. I know somebody said, "Well, you know, it's preachers always talk about money." Well, we have a right to. Did you know that 1 out of 4 New Testament verses deals with money? In that case, we should talk about money more than we do love and prayer. Because the Scripture talks about money more than love or prayer. So it's a vital subject. It's an important biblical subject. It's important because it affects your life greatly. And that's why the Bible talks about it so much, is because it has an important part in our lives. Did you know that 2/3 of the parables that Jesus taught deal with money? Did you know that the first problem in the New Testament church occurred over money? So it's an important subject, isn't it? It is. It's a vital subject. And we are stewards. I think it would really help a lot if we could understand that the money that God allows to come our way really is not ours. It's His.
Right, it is.
I know I've heard people say, "Well, you know, when I make enough, then I'm really going to start giving." Well, how much is enough? Where does that start? When does that kick in? Amen. I'm going to show you in just a minute that that's not the way it works biblically. The word money appears in Scripture, and I'm talking about this, and we're going to bring it home here about our church in a few minutes. But scripturally, the word money appears in the Bible 139 times. So that's very important. Of course, other words that speak about the same subject, it's just not the word money, appears in Scripture real often. First of all, the Bible tells us concerning money that we should work for it. That's all right, isn't it? Work for it. Remember Genesis 3:19? "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou shalt return unto the ground." So, anybody sweat today? Amen. That's part of it. He said you're going to work for your sustenance. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Paul said, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." Now that's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? No work, no eat. You know, if we had that rule in control, we'd have a lot of folks working, doing something. Everybody would be doing something, because everybody wants to eat. Amen. So the Bible is very plain that we should work for the things that we have, things that come our way. The Bible says that we should not covet money or possessions. That's, of course, one of the commandments, isn't it? Exodus 20:17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thy neighbor's wife, his manservant, his maidservant, his ox, or anything that is thy neighbor. So the Scripture's plain that we're not supposed to covet. In other words, and I think this is one of the most important messages of our day, learn to control your appetite for things. Learn to control your appetite for stuff. A whole lot of things that people buy are not really things they need or after they get home really even want. It just looked good at the moment. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if that's ever happened to you, but it happens. You know, we get, people didn't used to go to the mall for entertainment. That is an invitation to tragedy, a financial tragedy, going to the mall for entertainment. With all these sales going on, boy, I tell you, it's hard to resist a good sale, isn't it? Whether you need it or not, you might someday. You might either grow enough to get into it or lose enough to get into it. And such a good deal. And just the right color, too. So, you know, it's like the lady that was shopping and saw a dress she knew she couldn't afford and shouldn't buy. And so she said, get behind me, Satan, and push. At least you'd have somebody to blame it on. So getting our appetite under control, folks, is something that's important, isn't it? It really is. If there's ever a time we needed to get our appetite for stuff under control, this is the day. This is the day. There's every kind of toy. Of course, I haven't been around a lot of this kind of thing, but my brother and I were talking about these toys, and I thought, you know, or I think I made the comment, I said, you know, when things get bad, one of the first things that's going to go are these expensive toys. And by that, I didn't just mean for kids, I mean for adults as well. That's what they say, isn't it? The difference between men and boys is the price of their toys. And there may be some truth to that. And so I thought, that's probably going to be the first thing to fall. And he said, I don't know about that. And then he began to name some folks that we knew that are, I mean, they're up to their eyeballs in debt, but they keep buying expensive toys. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to fill a void that's on the inside that no toy will ever fill. There's not a boat that'll fill it. There's not a motorcycle, and I'm not against stuff. It's okay to have some stuff as long as you got your priorities straight. Amen. Got your priorities straight. Amen. Somebody said, well, as soon as I get out of debt, I'm going to really start helping the church. Well, you're not probably ever going to help the church then. Amen. If you want to get out of debt, start helping. And you'll start getting out of church. I think I read somewhere that it said, what was it exactly that it said? It said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So if the church is my treasure and the ministry of Jesus Christ is my treasure, then that's where my heart is. All right? Yes, sir. And so it's something that I would want to be a big part of helping that. The next thing the Bible talks about as far as money is concerned is that we don't serve money. Romans chapter 1 verse 25 talks about people who change the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. And so stuff is what they worshiped. Stuff. And we are living, especially in a culture today, that has cult the stuff-itis. I mean, just stuff, stuff, stuff. Well, I don't want to get too far into that. Let me just go along here. I think I've got that point across if you've ever heard me talk on this subject before. 1 Timothy, Paul gives us a really good view of some good things here. He said, 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Everybody say godliness. That's being like God, loving the things God loves, doing the things God loves, and being content to do that. He said, that's great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. A paraphrase, have you ever seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul? I read about a man that needed a suit and a pinch. He was a Bible college student, didn't have any money. So he went to the Goodwill and picked one up, found one that fit, put it on. Put his on his pants, and he's tried to stick his hand in the pocket, and there wasn't any. And he said, what in the world? And then he found out that that was a suit that was made for a funeral home. They don't need pockets. You're not taking anything with you. And so pockets are unnecessary. And you were not born with any pockets. When you got here, you didn't have any. When you leave here, you don't need any. So pockets are unnecessary. We didn't bring anything this world. I like what someone said. They said, the only thing you can take to heaven from this world is your family and your friends. People that you win to Jesus Christ, that's all you're taking out of this world. Everything else is going to stay. That should tell us a little bit about where our priorities should be. And then he said, for having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Amen. Food and raiment, or food and clothing. He said, be content with that. That would be nice if we could be, wouldn't it? Amen. And then the 9th verse, it said, but they that will be rich. It doesn't say they that are rich, does it? It's saying those that want to be. There are some people that are not rich, they just want to be. It said they fall into temptation and the snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. So it's not only being rich, and there's nothing wrong with having money. You can have a whole lot of money and not be rich. The word rich means to hoard, to store, to hold on to. That's the idea. It's not having a lot and letting it flow through you to be a blessing to others and to help good causes and the cause of God. For the love of money, we've heard this many times, but it still fits. For the love of money is the root of all evil. While which some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That's a powerful verse to me. Amen. That's a powerful verse. Did you notice that some people, it says they've erred from the faith because of money? They just couldn't get a grip on their money, if you, pun intended. But that calls them to err from the faith, calls them to be lost. And he said, and they pierced themselves through with many sorrows. There are many people in our culture today that sell their families basically for money. Not because they literally sell them, but because money means more to them and stuff means more to them than their family does, than their children do. And what a travesty. But that's the world that we're part of, and that's a culture that we're part of. So the Bible says, don't serve money. Jesus told us in Luke 16:13, you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is stuff, materialism, wealth, riches. He said you can't serve both. The key word here is serve. Again, it's not wrong to have. It's not wrong to have a lot, as long as you don't have a hold of you. As the man said, all that you can hold in your hands is fine, just don't let it get into your heart. That's when it becomes dangerous. So we don't covet money. We don't serve money. The next thing that the Bible teaches about money is that we are supposed to give it. That's one reason God sends money our way, is to give it. One of the greatest joys is to learn to be a giver. It's great to be a giver. First of all, you know, the Bible said it is more blessed to give than to receive. If you're on the giving end, that means you have a blessing. You have something that you're able to give. And that's a good thing, to be able to do that. Aren't you glad that you have something to give? Amen. That's a blessing from the Lord to have that. So the Bible teaches us that it's better to give than it is to receive. Now, children at Christmas time don't really believe that, but it's a fact anyway. Hopefully adults have grown up and know better. Amen. But the Bible teaches us about giving. Luke 6 and 38 is a wonderful verse. The Lord said, give, Jesus speaking, give and it shall be given unto you. You see, we start the process, don't we? We initiate the action. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. You know, in those days they carried their money in their pocket up here. So that's why it says men, and everybody say men, would give into their bosom. God doesn't print any money. But He can move on people to provide what you need. Yes, He can. And if He wants to use you as an instrument of giving, then listen and obey. And then He can bless you. We have tried to live by this principle. Tried to teach our daughter this principle. She was in a service right before we met the Foreign Missions Board. And there was a group of people there that she felt like she just wanted to give all of her money to. Of course, she didn't have a lot of money. She was 11 years old, but she did have some money. And so she wanted to give it. So what could we say? We said, oh, well, pray about it. If you still feel that's the thing to do, give it. And she did. And the next day, when we met the Foreign Missions Board, they noticed that it was her birthday. And all of those men on the Foreign Missions Board took up an offering and gave it to her. So she thought that was a pretty neat thing. And she immediately linked what she had done the night before to what happened the next day. That she had given this, and then she had received much more than what she gave. And that was a wonderful lesson, something that we could tell her, but when it happened to her, then it became a lifelong lesson. And so it's a wonderful thing to learn that God does indeed bless. Given it shall be given. That's another thing the Bible talks about when it talks about money. And then, of course, everybody uses this verse. There's a whole lot of other ones besides this one. And that we are to give to God tithe, aren't we? Amen. The Scripture teaches that. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 through verse 12 talks about tithing and offerings. Now, tithing, of course, was for support of ministry. That's always been its purpose. Offerings were for the support of the physical tabernacle and temple at a later time. That was the separation of the two. One was for ministry, one was for the tabernacle. And the Lord says that if we will give as He told us to give, He said, I will pour out you a blessing that you shall not have room enough to receive. Amen. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field. And nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. So there's a blessing in giving. God declares it. Anybody think God means what He says? Does God mean what He says about money? Sure He does. Amen. I'm telling you, folks, tonight, there's a blessing in giving. Amen. And I've experienced that, and I like giving because I have certainly been a blessed person. Amen. And the Bible teaches that we're give to our families. It teaches plainly, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So the Scripture teaches that we are to give to our families. That's a responsibility. The Bible teaches we're to give to the poor, 1 John 3:17. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? So the Bible teaches that we are to bless the poor. And all of these things are scriptural. We're also to pay taxes. That's scriptural. One day, Jesus was with a crowd, and they tried to trap him. Remember that? They tried to trap him. They said, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? In other words, are we supposed to pay our taxes? Jesus, as always, trumped them. He said, give me a coin. Somebody handed him a coin. He said, whose image is on this? And they said, Caesar's. So he said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God what is God's. My, what an answer. Isn't that awesome? That's incredible, isn't it? Amen. It has been said, the Lord giveth, and Uncle Sam taketh away. So that's, but it's a part of taxes. We're almost there. Got to get mine done here pretty soon, because it's almost the end of the road. And all right, so, but taxes are an important part. And we do live in a nation that does a lot of good things because of taxation. We have a lot of blessings we wouldn't have if it wasn't for that. So it's important, yes, that we do pay taxes. It is scriptural that we do that. Romans 13:7 said, render unto therefore to all their due, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due. That's tax. And so it's important that we do that. That's what we're supposed to do. And then the Bible teaches us that we are to avoid debt. Everybody said amen. Amen. To avoid debt. Proverbs 22:7 said, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Amen. So that's simply telling us that we need to be careful about debt. Debt can be a miserable taskmaster. And it's easy to get there. It's very, very easy to get there. And one of the easiest things you can do to get out of debt is to perform a placectomy on these things. If you can't control these things and these things control you, then the best thing to do is just cut them up. Get rid of them. Because they will ruin you if you don't know how to control them. And they're good at it, folks. They're good at it. They send them in the mail nearly every day. And it'll solve all your problems. Just get this card and consolidate all of your debts in just one card at this one low interest rate. And we used to have, before credit cards, we have anybody remember easy payment plans? Nothing easy about it. Nope. The only thing easy about it was signing the dotted line. After that, it was tough every month from that point on. And so it's very important that we understand that the Bible teaches that we are to avoid debt. Romans 13:8 says, owe no man anything. Don't owe people. That's just good advice. Now, I don't know if you realize this. Some of you will. Credit cards haven't been around that long. You know, they didn't even really come out until about the 60s when they really started coming out, and were not too strong then. They gained a lot of ground through the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. But credit cards just really haven't been around that long. Debt hasn't been around that long. Most of you that are my age Your grandparents didn't have any. If they couldn't buy it and pay for it, they just didn't buy it. They just saved until they could. And then, you know, then parents started on the installment plan. And you could pay things in payments, installment plan. And so that eased us into that. And then it got easier than that. Now you can just take a piece of plastic and slide it through a machine. It's painless. I mean, you don't feel a thing. Have you noticed how much easier it is to do that than it is to pay with cold, hard cash? When you watch that green stuff disappearing out of your pocket, it's more painful to pay that way than just sliding that card. It sounds so slick. And punch in your little buttons and, wow, painless. Sign your name. And you still walk out with the same amount of money in your pocket as you had when you went in until the end of the month. And then you open up that credit card bill and you think, what? How did this thing get so high? It was painless until now. So debt is something the Bible teaches us that we should avoid. Let me talk just quickly about some money mistakes. Bill-oriented life, which is simply credit buying. There's a lot of things you can just do without. Impulse buying. That's just buying something simply because you want it. I've learned that if I want something and I pick it up and I carry it around for a little while, I usually lay it down before I leave the store. Because I just decide, you know what? I really don't need this. It sure looks good. I sure did like it. And when I saw it, I really wanted it. But I don't really need this. And just put it back down. If you have low sales resistance, and some people do, then just don't go shopping. Unless you really need something. And then if there's somebody else you can send them. Or leave all your credit cards at home and just take just enough to pay for what you need. Prepare if you have low sales resistance. I learned a real good lesson. I'm going to tell on myself. This makes me look foolish. But I did learn a good lesson. We went to Disney World one year. And I saw, and there, every time you go, you're going to see these. They had a big fancy sign there. It said that you would get free tickets. And I don't remember how much it cost back then, but you know, it was a pretty princely sum. And I thought, man, I can get 3 free tickets. I'm going to save some money. And all I got to do is sit through the sales pitch. Well, they pitched, and I bought. And believe me, I paid a whole lot more than I would have at Disney World by the time I got out of that. They let me cancel my contract for about 3 or 4 times what I would have paid for at Disney World. So I learned a real good lesson. Just stay away. Just stay away. And I have this sense of fairness that my mom and dad put into me that nothing is free. And somehow I just feel like I owe folks if they're giving me something. I just can't help that. That's just part of my nature. Amen. All right. Cosigning. The Bible talks about us not being verity or cosigning. That can get you in trouble too, can it? This is an important lesson. Do you know what cosigning does? If you cosign for your brother or sister, before you co-sign, you're a brother and sister. After you co-sign, then you're the master and they're the servant. It changes the relationship. When you loan somebody money, all of a sudden, you are the person they owe and they're the debtor. It changes your relationship. And you may not feel that way. If you loan somebody something, you may not feel that way. You may just be open-handed and not care. You may not just give it to them.